Ephesians 5 verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Yeah, so that means the Bible describes some people as fools. Then it describes some as wise. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't be unwise. Rather, try to understand what the will of the Lord is. So you can see a party, two parties. You first see those who are fools and those who are wise. Then you're going to see those who are unwise and those who understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, can we read verse 18 together, everybody? Okay, I'll wait for you. Looks like you're drunk. That's it. No, that's a joke. Verse 18, once you go. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now stop that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, one of the themes of the Bible that every believer ought to understand is the Spirit of God. I don't know if it's Pastor Andrew Womack or Andrew Womack. Either Pastor Drew Mack or Rob Parsley or now there are three people that sound almost alike oftentimes. Or Pastor Peter Johnson or who else? This man that passed away. Is it Bob Castley now? They sound alike. So I don't know who said this one, but I heard it a long time ago and I said, he said, it appears that every Christian knows a lot about Jesus, who spent 3.5 years of ministry that was recorded, than we know about the Holy Ghost that lives in us. And I thought that was funny at first, but sometimes it's true. Now you can make an argument and say the Holy Ghost speaks of Jesus and all of that. Say all you want. But oftentimes we don't pay attention to the fact that the Spirit of God is inside. It looks like what we say every service, what we convince ourselves that, oh, this is what is going on. The Spirit of God is in. We even rejoice about it. The Spirit of God is in. Woo! Glory! But what impact does that make in our everyday? How does that translate to our living? Don't forget, every man born of God has the Spirit of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. He lives in me. You don't believe that? He's resident in me. Let me say this. It has always been God's desire to clothe himself with man. Think of what I just said now. To clothe himself with man. He's the one walking, but man is the one you're seeing. That is God's desire. He told Israel, I am your king. Then he said, you know what? I'll clothe myself with someone. He calls him David. I just keep someone. So it's fine. Amen. That's his theology. He calls him David. Not your David. But he clothes himself with you. Amen. Ephesians 1:13 helps us understand that the Holy Ghost is the seal that marks the fact that we are owned by Jesus. Ephesians 1:13. Where you were sealed after you believed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I'm sealed. That means the Holy Ghost is that down payment. I've explained that to you before. That down payment. God said, take the Holy Ghost for you to know that I own you. For you to know that I'm coming back for your body. He gave us his Spirit. In fact, we're going to look at it probably during the camp meeting. I was going to mention this. You know, Paul said something that really fascinated me. He said, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You don't get that, do you? He says, the fullness of God is the fact that he fills you. How you know that God is pleru? The pleroma of God is the fact that he fills you. That sounds somehow, yeah? Should I say it again? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Go to Ephesians 1, that's where we are. Don't forget, we're looking at be filled with the Spirit, right? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 1. Verse 23 is where we are. I'll start from verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, you should be praying that for yourself every day, the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of understanding may enlighten, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Now, he explained to you the power of God. He says, it's exceedingly great. He says, how do you know? You will see it. He wrought it in Christ, verse 20. When he raised him from the dead. Oh. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly. He says, this power and this throne is far above every principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He says, and he has put all of these things now. What did he put? The power, the dominion, that are far above other dominions. He has put all things under his feet. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is his body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. That's why you've got to pray well to read Paul. Unfortunately, we're in a very strange generation. I was on Twitter the other day, and okay, you were in my office. Someone came to show me something on Twitter. Some Gen Z's were arguing on Paul. And I asked them to send me the link. And I went to read the entire discourse and I was laughing. And he said, Paul, I like Paul the apostle, but there's a Paul the misogynist. So I'm a Christian, but I'm a feminist. That Paul, the way Paul treated women. Paul, why would he say women should not talk? I was just laughing. You know, the joke, sometimes the joke is so funny, it tells itself. And then you wonder, what are you thinking? If I catch Paul, he's on site. No. I don't say go and look for it too. And you want to laugh too. He said, if I catch Paul, he's on site. On site means he's going to kill Paul. In case you don't know what would Gen Z say. He said, if I get to wherever, I don't even want to see Paul at all. He should just stay on his own. So, Jesus, I follow. Paul, no. I believe as they give the best singer award and all that, they should give clowns. Paul, misogynist. I mean, he's the one that Lucia, Phoebe, who told you, who ordained elders in the church and made them women, and women, and made them elders. That was Paul. They were accountable to him. He said, I've heard from the house of, she told me that there are divisions among you. That's Paul. Literally, Romans 16 was Paul thanking leaders he placed in different churches. And guess what? 90% were women. Told Timothy, I walked with your grandmother Eunice. I saw her faith. That was Paul. So Gen Z, yeah. That was, I said, sometimes you just have to pray to understand what Paul is saying. Jesus calls his writings the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is the epistles. And he says, God's ultimate dominance is seen in the fact that he fills us. The fullness of him that fills all in all. I don't see that in the captivity. Actually, you already know the title now. The fullness of him. Amen. Since we postponed it. Hallelujah. And it can come now and I change the topic and I teach another thing. You take it. Amen. Amen. The fullness of him that fills all in all. So it means we are by default built for the supernatural. He lives in us. We didn't find him. He found us. None of us found God. He found us. And that's what I said. The Christian life is a life of faith. The moment you take faith out of the picture, you lose the entire picture. Have you played a domino before? Have you seen a domino? Huh? You've seen a domino before? Anyone? Or you've built all this castle that if one piece falls out, everything crashes. I remember seeing a video, and then the artist already had done a very nice artwork, and then someone was just playing. He just poked. How many of you seen the video? Okay, good. He just poked one of the pieces. Pum. Somebody's own has been in for months. And everything came crashing down. That's faith. You take faith out of the picture, there's no picture. And sometimes, what faith means is that you don't even understand what's going on. How many of you, when you were born again, you know, Christ lives in you, you understood? Let me go and do X-ray. Let me go and do X-ray. I'm coming. I want to see where he is in me. An X-ray cannot see him. You see him by faith. Faith does not oppose understanding. If he's saying this very well. What does faith do? It's only what? Above it. It only supersedes understanding. It doesn't oppose it. It's just greater. A greater level of understanding though. And I told you last week, 2 weeks ago, I said faith is that room between understanding and our exposure to God's wonder. Between understanding and our exposure to God's wonder is faith. By faith, we will take our understanding and we'll be exposed to what God can do. So the reality of the indwelling of the Spirit must never leave the believer. You must never escape your mind that I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Spirit of God. Many a Christian are living without that understanding today. You just wake up. You are even praying. Even with the prayer, there's no sense of, you know what, the Spirit of God lives in me. You're going to preach. No understanding. You just carry the Bible and they say we should preach. No, you go. You, knowing fully well you are not alone. The Spirit of God is in me. My words are His words. He has put me on like a glove. Amen. And God wants to work. He wants to clothe Himself with people, surrendered people. He wants to clothe Himself with surrendered people. We see that in Judges. Judges chapter... It's not in my note. Judges chapter 6. Yes. It feels good to be right. Judges chapter 6. Verse 33. So this is, they are preparing for war. Israel. Verse 32, verse 32. Therefore on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abizar was gathered after him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Who has another translation apart from KJV, NIV, and NLT? There's a version I can't remember, but I remember reading it years ago, that says, the Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on like a cloth. Or the Spirit of God clothed with Gideon. Who has that? You have that? Let me see. Let me hear you. Ooh, I like that. What version is that? NLT. I don't want NLT. I'll manage your NLT. Verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Any other version? Anyone with another version? The Spirit of the Lord. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon. I like that one. Any other person? I like that one. The Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. Any other one? You are trying to find your own. Rewrite it now. Say, Pastor, I have two. The Spirit of the Lord used Gideon Shawama. Took control. Took possession. Wore him like a cloth. I love that one. The Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on like a cloth. I think whatever version says it. I'll get it for you. Remind me. The Spirit of the Lord wore Gideon like a cloth. That's you. That's you. You're preaching to someone, and you know, the Spirit of the Lord is wearing you like a cloth to preach to that person. He's going to yield, isn't he? Huh? You're laying hands on the sick. The Spirit of the Lord wore me like a cloth. You want to say the best thing of you? It's the Spirit of the Lord. He just wore me like a cloth. That's what we call the indwelling. That's what we call the indwelling. You see me holding the microphone. No, the Spirit of the Lord is putting me on like a cloth. He's the one talking. It's His voice. His hands are His hands. The hands are His hands. The voice is His voice. The touch is His touch. The believer must live in that reality where we are constantly exposed to His wonder. Hallelujah. Learning something? Learning something? Go back to our text, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 18, attach. Be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Glorious house, Joshua. I know you know the theology now. So, wine, is he talking about ogogoro? Huh? Come on. Okay, good. Is he talking about shinap? Huh? Is he talking about wine? Be careful. You have to look at implications. Don't be filled with the natural. He used wine because wine intoxicates. And he says, no, don't let everything about you be soaked up in the natural. Rather than being all natural, be filled with the Spirit. This is what he's saying. You know, sometimes where the devil is driving a believer to is to get to a place where you lose total control and you depend on yourself. Look at the oxymoron. You lose total control and you depend on yourself. The devil wants to get you to a place where you feel self-sufficient. But Paul says, no, don't be drunk with wine. To a place where you just depend on money and connections and fame and fortune and, you know, what is it? I have money. Money will sort it. Money is such a litmus. I've been saying this for years now, probably close to a decade. And that scares me. Scares me to say I've been saying it for close to a decade. Money is a litmus. Sometimes you don't know your true attitude till you have money. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Of course, there are people who don't have money and they're still proud. You don't see poor, proud people. Eh? Ah. When poor says children are rich in this world, that they should not trust that. There are poor people in this world. They are still trusting in uncertain riches that does not exist for them yet. No, someone can be poor and be proud. You don't know. Someone can be poor and have love of money. How long can you be poor and stingy? Amen. A particular preacher said, it's when people have money that you now know their true character. I've forgotten his name. That person I said is humble. He's not actually humble. It's because there's no money. Amen. And she'll come greet you like this. Ah, Pastor. That's the waste of time. You're like greeting me. Two knees. Now, no, you're a good example in the name of Jesus. Two knees. He said, you think I don't notice? I always notice. Okay, and you too, Abby. He said, ah, Pastor, don't skip me. He said, sometimes people, because they are poor. No, you are not poor. The moment money comes, hi, Pastor. Ah, Nina. No, every knee shall bow to money. At that point, it's getting to being drunk with wine, not being filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, don't let the natural control you. Let the Spirit of God do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled? We said, you are not full. Glorious house church. You are not full until what? Huh? Until you are overflowing, until you are pouring out. I gave you an illustration, right? You have a cup of water. How do you know the cup is full? When it's pouring out. If it has not started pouring out, then it's not full. You might not be able to see what is remaining. It might be so minute, might be so insignificant as it were, but it's not full. I know the cup is full when it starts to pour out. It means if I say I am filled with the Spirit, then it means there will be an overflow. There will be an outpour. You say, I'm filled with Spirit. I'm filled with Spirit. I'm filled with Spirit. It is in me. I'm filled. No, no. If you are filled like he said you are, there will be things that the world will see. Not just the world, you will foresee it. You will see it. And everyone around you will see it. This one is full of the Spirit. No, she's full of the Spirit. He is full of the Spirit. I am full of the Spirit. It means, if we say we are full of the Spirit, there will be an overflow to our lives. It starts to affect sometimes what you see and how you see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I remember some years ago watching R.W. Schoenbach. I used to work with R.W. Schoenbach a lot. I've told you a lot of stories about Schoenbach. Yeah, blessed memory now. And on one of his outreaches, I think he went to preach in See, Australia, somewhere. Yeah, Australia, somewhere like that. And so someone was writing about the ministries of R.W. Schoenbach. And I was saying, when they got there, as they were just fellowshipping, R.W. Schoenbach started doing like this. Can you guys smell it? And they were like, water. We can smell your fragrance. And nah, it's not fragrance. It's a strong odor of bread. It's a bread. It's so strong. How can you not smell it? No one there, about 10 people could smell. Then he changed. He said, it's not bread. Like scented flowers. So they thought, Baba done the, but they know, he did not tell our vision back that you are, sir, he can put you paralysis under the spirit and bring you back later. Ask if God can do it. We know. You'll find out if God can actually make someone paralyzed or not. Ask Paul too. The one they don't like. And so, they just told him, okay sir, we can smell it. They cannot smell it. He said, flowers. He said, I can almost taste it. After 5 minutes, he told them, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is so strong here. He's the one I'm perceiving. Now don't say God is like bread. Or like flour. He said, he's the one I'm perceiving. Is there anyone we seek here? And as I mentioned, he said, someone has a growth at the back of their eyes. And 2 out of 10. He said, another. He mentioned to all of them, the 10 were sick. He mentioned each person's own. Then he started laying hands on them. As he was laying hands on them, they could perceive the same flower. You know, sometimes the presence of the Lord is so strong, it conflicts with our own world. How do I put it? What's the word now? It collides. His world collides with our world. It means you are so full that your seeing is not just visions. You literally can see. It's not just, your smelling is not spiritual smelling. You actually can just perceive God. And some of you have experienced this before. You are so full at that moment that you, even those things that could make you sad were happening, you were just singing and then you were just glad and you're wondering, where is all these praises coming from? How many of you have felt that before? Oh good, I know, yeah. I know that one's common. You know, there's just something in you that is bubbling. I want to be worried, but okay. That's God's world colliding with your world. We can be that field where it pours out. It pours out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In our hearing, we hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we are filled. Oh, we are filled. Oh, we are filled. I was teaching. Oh, we are filled. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Being filled means there's an outpour. You begin to see, hear, perceive, sometimes taste. Your senses become surrendered. So there's nothing like, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit. If you are filled, how do I know I'm filled? There's an overflowing. And if there's going to be an overflowing, that means what? We've sorted this one out. If it will keep pouring out, it means the source must not stop, right? Okay, let's put it like this. I'm pouring water in a jug. Then it's full. How do I know it's full? It's pouring out, right? If I stop, it will pour out after a while. Then it stops pouring out. Once it stops pouring out, is it full? So, for it to be full, the source must be constant. It means the key to being filled with the Spirit all the time is being hungry all the time. I have to be hungry all the time for me to be full all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then Matthew chapter 5. The key to being filled every time is being hungry every time. I must keep receiving. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, which is literally Jesus describing himself. We'll see that another time. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kudabati Silbo Fatikiti Gotosha Tostioka. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, poor in spirit, come on. Poor in spirit does not mean lacking. Poor in spirit is when a man gets to the point where you say, God, you are my sustenance. It's either you show up or I fail miserably. You're poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means I have no other dependence but God. Poor in spirit means I don't have any other source. Let me read it the way I read my book. It means seeing God as the ultimate significance. He has to show up or I just fail. It means I depend on him to live. Reminds me of, you know, if you ever lived on campus, in campus hostel, there's something we call squatters. There's something we call floaters. Tell me, what's the other category? Just those two. We used to have more than two in loot. No, not Bonafide. Bonafide is the owner of the room. Then squatter, then floater, then there's one more. I forgot it. I can't remember. There's one more. I used to call one boy like that. He's worse than a floater. A floater is not a squatter, right? He just comes in, Abby. Just comes in, goes. Might not see the person for some days. Then he comes back again as a floater. A squatter is the one that has begged you. I say, Biko, let me stay in this room. Help me. No more, I'll not sleep on the bed. I can't even sleep under the bed if you ask me to. It's a lie, they'll still take the bed from you. But when they are begging, the face is always pitiful. I say, when they are begging. I was a squatter once too. Amen. Hallelujah. Just once. It was fun. Because my own squatter had authority, believer's authority. Why are you putting this pocket here? And they are wondering. You a squatter here. I was changing it for the room owners. Don't go and change it though. Most of them were attending my fellowship. Amen. It's easier for pastor to change it. So, there's a floater, the floater. I don't want to mention someone's name. You know the person I want to mention. His name is in the Bible. He will bring guitar. His guitar he first drop. He will not be playing guitar for you people. You know, you're enjoying the guitar. You can even say, shall you come back at night, come and play? You say, I'll come now. He doesn't know anywhere he will come. So, that night he will play guitar, he will now sleep off. Which is all calculated. Amen. Now sleep off while playing the guitar. You cannot just send him away. Shebi, you danced. So the next morning, you now go to class together. You will not bath in your place, so you go. Then when you come back from class, you just come together. The toothbrush of the morning is now in your room. So gradually, slippers comes, pot comes. You don't have pot, let me go and bring it. That's a scutter. But there are some people who depend. They are so poor, lacking financial resources. You're not lack in the name of Jesus. Have you met people who literally lack anything? They just wait for someone else to give them food. Sorry, I've not eaten since morning. That's the poor in spirit. Where it's either God does something or I know there's nothing. I have no other dependence. Jesus says, that's how we must be. We must be poor in spirit for us to be filled with the Spirit. My God. It sounds like two opposing worlds. What is the truth of God's word? We must be poor in spirit to be filled with the Spirit. We must not get to a place where we are satisfied with how we see ourselves. We must not get to a place where if God does not do something, we just figure it out. And it's not for ministry. It overflows to ministry. Ministry is also part of the overflow. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship. It's a communion. It's a life. It's not, I'm filled with the Spirit so that I can use for ministry, so that I can heal the sick, so I can raise the dead, so I can speak in tongues, so I can preach His word. No, all of those things are part of the overflow. They are part of the outpour. No, I'm filled, then I do that. Hallelujah. Can I learn something? Do not be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You can even say, but be poor in the spirit. Because if I'm poor in the spirit, I will always be filled. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. When you demonstrate hunger for him, he fills you. And that's where the devil wants to drive a lot of Christians to a place where we are satisfied. To a place where we just look at everything and say, glory, glory, glory. I'm not saying don't give him glory. I'm saying don't be impressed yet. Oh Lord, we know there are deeper depths. Oh Lord, we know this is not all to it. Oh Lord, show us who you are. Show us how you move. Collide with our world. Can we pray for ourselves a bit? Don't stand up. Just pray for yourself. Bring me to a place of total dependence on you. That I be poor in spirit. Seeking only you. I don't want to depend on myself. I don't want to depend on the arm of flesh. You said, woe unto him that depends on the arm of flesh. He will not see your salvation. That's what you said. I don't want to rely on my own understanding. Like our song says, I want you to always take the wheel. Amen. I read again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So the key to being filled is being poor, is being hungry every time. So we said, go back to Ephesians 5. That's where we are. Last week, I remember we had an amazing time. Right? Remember? Huh? Where we're exposed to his wonder. Remember? I want to have that again. I enjoyed myself last week. We didn't have enough time. We've been service way past our time. I'm carving time. I kept looking at my wristwatch. Carving time for that tonight. Amen. I want to be exposed to his wonder. Oh my Lord. Ephesians 5. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess. Don't forget. That's the natural, right? You know, sometimes you don't know you're not filled with the spirit, you have money. Before, if you're sick, you put your hands on yourself like this. I remember doing it myself. I used to be on glasses. Recommended. Very strong one. You saw it, yeah? For how many years? Not too long. Okay. AY, you saw it? You need that time. Okay, good. You too? Did you? Alright. Strong lenses. Very strong. Your glasses you look like Shako. Every glass, yeah, I'm saying. But that was not even helping, so there was no point. And I remember getting my healing, amen. Amen. And, of course, that propelled me to believe in God for more. So if you can believe God for something that they said you are going to have a surgery for, I don't think stomachache would be the issue. Amen. You know, so, growing up, you don't even have the money to buy drugs, so what's the point? Just say, in the name of Jesus, I command you spirit of malaria, out! Out! I don't have any money to get anything! Who are you, malaria? Get out! Get out! Get out! And just, you pray the headache out. What are you saying? I remember there was a year like that, I was having a serious migraine. I said, I will not stop praying until this thing ceases. Let's know who get tired first. Migraine or the Holy Ghost. And I said, pray, out! If you get to a point in your life, where the same migraine comes and you say, get me slowly you are being showed where your trust is. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in using medications. I use so that you can know that one now. Amen. I use. The only thing I don't take is injection. Not because the Bible is against it. I don't like it. You know what vexed me most? When it's like this. Why are you doing that? I think it's an agreement among nurses to scare you. Yeah. They make you think this is going to enter you. And he was here. Kotikun. I don't like that one. I remember 7, 8. They wanted to give me injection for malaria. I ran under the car. They said they would move it. Kill me. Until they promised me tea and I came out. You don't need to drink tea in our house. The only time you drink bovita is when you are sick. Sorry. You grew up. Now you can just make tea. midnight. I'm just hungry. Let me make tea. Tea. You have to be sick. Then they will not go and buy Bonvita. Sachet. He says sachet. Okay. Sachet. They will not put it with me. It's not even the, the first day I saw tin milk was when I was going to boarding house. And I guarded with life. Eh? I mean, he got one tin of milk. Hallelujah. But you used to lay hands on yourself. Suddenly, you have all the money to buy every drug unit. But do not be drunk with wine. Be influenced by the Spirit. We've had programs before where I remember telling was it Barnabas or DJ? One of these has to be DJ. I had a program, a word conference. I used to do a word conference every December. Some of you have attended before. Now stop that. Remember word conference every December. I had it for like 7-6 years. We don't have money for fuel. So what do? We'll be praying that on that day, let there be light. Nepal light, not salvation. That God will stand in the gap on so dates. Between so time and this time, Nepal must not blink. And I will fast and pray. And it will happen. In fact, most times, as we are finishing the program like this, bam! And we'll laugh. But today, you have money for diesel. So you're saying, I'm not saying all our services, we should not even buy diesel. Just say, Pastor, why are we buying diesel? Brother Manu, why? Pastor, Brother Manu, we keg. I will not believe it. No. I'm just letting you know where the devil takes our attentions to. Don't be filled with wine. He didn't say, don't take wine. Again, don't forget, the context is beyond natural wine. Amen? He didn't say, don't take wine. He said, don't be intoxicated. Don't be drunk with it. Don't get to a place where it is all drugs. Don't get to a place where it is all flesh. It is all reliance on money. It's all reliance on connections. Hey, be filled with spirit. He didn't say, don't take wine. No, he said, don't be drunk with it. The devil wants to get us to a place where all we know is wine. Even when God says, you know what, why not just believe for your healing? You just go. I'm going to go see the physiotherapist tomorrow. I'll go see the physiatrist. I'll go and see the... I've told you before, if you don't learn to use God's power for an headache, you will not use it for something bigger. If you know how to harness God's power for malaria, for stomachache, when something that does not respond to drugs happen, where will you run to? So you see, believers, sometimes, this person has so thing. So, it looks like the end of the world. Why? Because you are drunk with wine. You have no alternative. No. You can be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God can collide with your world. The Spirit of God can impact your body. The Spirit of God can bring life to your bones. The Spirit of God can supply energy to your body. Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Where there's an overflow even to our natural lives. Where our bodies feel it. Where our bodies feel your energy. Where our eyes see you. Where our ears hear you. Where our decisions, where our thoughts are filled with you. Where our world is shaped with you. Fill us with your Spirit. The key to being filled is being hungry. The key to being filled is being poor. How about that? How many of us understand what you said now? We've gone through that. How many of you want me to come again? Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. So he must fill our thoughts. He must shape our lives. Where we trust in him and him alone. The Bible says he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. I love that one. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. He says he takes the poor man. He sets him on the mountain where sin has no voice. It's in the Bible. Where sin shuts up. He hides him in the mountain. Not from sight. He hides him above darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pray for me as I close. The key to being filled is being hungry. Always yearning for him. That's why I said, you must never lose your wonder. You must never get to a place where it's all... cycle. No, every service, Every time we gather, I'm talking here now. I'm not talking for anybody. I don't know. Every time we gather here as Glorious House Church, for every time I have handled the microphone or not, or every time I stand in front of God's people to teach, it's a new experience every time for me. Guess what? I'm still not used to this. I'm still not. I've probably done this close to 1,000 times. Yeah. Yeah, 52 Sundays in a year. 52 midweek services, that's already 100 per year. Teaching meetings, camp meetings, I've probably stood before you guys over 1,000 times. But every time I still come here, it's still new. Because you must never lose it. I'm talking to you, those of you who teach God's people. Sometimes, in the move of the Spirit, the first person to miss out is you. Sometimes. Because everybody is there to receive. And then you just go. You tell people, pray. And you're not praying. You know, and people say, don't stop speaking. Don't stop. And you just stopped. You must always retain that awe, that wonder. Oh Lord, you're still speaking through me. You're still talking through me. These words are not my words. You have put me on like a cloth. You have put your words in my mouth. You have put your spirit in me to make an impact in the world. I know when I land, you said the sick will recover. That's you walking. I see you walking. That wonder must never cease. You know how a lot of us start? The first time, you have that wonder. Oh Lord, thank you. You attended that service and you felt all shaking. You felt, oh, this is the word of God. I will attend this church forever. This is the word. Hey! Then gradually you get used to it. And the pastor will drop the word. Just get used to it. Just get used to it. And you get used to the rest and it does not influence you anymore. That's exactly where the devil wants to drive every man to. Where we lose our hunger and we can never be filled. He wants to take us to a place where we are filled with wine, not with the Spirit. Where we see the move of the Spirit as somehow, it's just it. What did we do? Three of us, we edified the other. Tongues and interpretations, that's not it. No, that's not how to talk about it. That's not how to talk about it. We get fascinated by AI and some tools and then you say, oh, how did they do that? I remember the first time I saw a smart home and someone just came in and said, power the city room. And all the lights came on. The TV came on. The AC came on. Just by saying it. I said, this is Genesis 1. Genesis 1. And he said, how does it work? I was explaining to Brother Shalom Sunday, this is how it works. I don't have my house. He came to my house and said, this is how it works. And all that. Well, God is talking through man, and you're not fascinated. That means you lost the wonder. You lost the wonder. Some we seek. They placed hands on him and said, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And he was healed. And we all just went, glory. No. I've seen the sick healed probably more than 1,000 times myself. And every time I still say, oh, thank you Lord Jesus. What is this you've just done? Probably because I see some things in healthcare a bit. I have the privilege of seeing sick people when I was in school. I know what sickness is. And then to tell me that someone just got healed, no side effect, nothing, and it's fine. I can never lose that wonder. And I pray to God I don't lose it. I won't lose it. I don't lose it. I don't lose it. I don't lose it. Day after day, Lord, you're fresh in my eyes. Your word is fresh. Your touch is fresh. I see you as fresh. I see you as new. Your goodness, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. Your touch, new every morning. Your church to me, new every morning. The people you've placed around me, I see that supernatural relationship and I see them as new. I see them as fresh. I don't lose my wonder. I don't lose my awe. I don't get used to it. Don't be drunk with wine. Where is the nexus? If you know the Spirit. Let Him be the one that overflows to your world. Don't let money impact. Don't let fame impact. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, with Paul, let me give you the biography of Paul. Hold on, man. People I love most in the scriptures. This one who used to kill Christians. Then one day he was traveling to kill. Same thing. Very, very predictable man. And he saw Jesus. Fell on his face. Said, "Who are you?" Jesus said, "I am Jesus, who you are killing. Now, you go and preach this same me that you have been killing people for." And Paul took. And he was done eating. When Ananias laid on him, when he was done eating, he went to preach. He preached so much, converted an entire city, which is filled with black magic. And they burnt their books of magic. Got to a place where they were serving an unknown God. And he made God known to them. And they all began to worship. Gathered people and taught them for a year. They were called Christians in Antioch. Stood for the church of God. Defended Gentile faith. He planted churches in all of Asia. The church in Colossae. The church in Ephesus. Thessalonica. Philippi. Rome. Galatia. Raised men for the Lord. Titus. Timothy. Philemon. Onesimus. Epaphroditus. Epaphras. Mark. If someone tells you, "I have planted churches in all of Africa," how will you rate him? Tells you, "Oh, Africa is saved." Then he comes to you and he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul is the one who did not, he said, "There's no time to heal all these sick people." And he sent out handkerchiefs. And thousands were healed. He didn't say a word. What have we seen exactly? What have we seen that we are now used to it? What have we seen that is making us this confident in the flesh? He sent handkerchiefs. Paul was preaching. Someone was disturbing and would not allow the person to be saved. And Paul got him blind, finished preaching and opened his eyes. It's in your Bible. At the point he was on a missionary journey, a snake, a viper, fastened itself to Paul's hands. And Paul shook it off. They were expecting him to die. And he was looking at them. He shook it off. And that same man said, "God, I want to know you." If it was now, he will plant a church. And people will come to see magic, right? And see miracle. No. But you must never lose that wonder. You must never lose that wonder. You see, that our exposure to wonder is tied to hunger. I must wake up every day saying, "God, I want to know you more." I want to know you more. Is there's something I just don't know. I want to know it. Sometimes in our singing. Sometimes in our listening. This morning, God was telling me, he said, "We don't listen enough." This morning, I was going to work. I was listening to teaching, and God said, he's talking to all of us. Says, glorious church, you are not listening enough. We just finished our 40 days. I asked you to be listening to God's word every day. Finished on Monday. Some of you don't even know. Because you didn't do it. That's what we say. You just lost the wonder. Just lost the I'm your pastor. I gave the instruction. I was counting. Those who are going to see God's hand more will never lose touch of the reality that you are dealing with someone that was not created. He was not created. You're dealing with the Almighty God. And who do you think you are? Then we're singing and then he just said, no, like I told you earlier, you didn't look for him. He found you. He didn't go look for him. He said, I have called you by name. I know exactly who you are. We must stand before him like that. Surrendered people. Surrendered hearts. Say, you know what, Lord? Here am I. Use me. Send me. Shape me. Teach me. Do to me what you want. That's what it means to be filled. It's not just shouting glory. It's when his word collides with our world. It's when we listen enough. Lord, we're going to listen. We will listen. We will listen more. Every day should leave you with hunger. It should leave you more desirous. One of the things the devil wants to do, I told you last 2 weeks, is to bring us to a place where we are impressed with our own spiritual growth. He wants you to be impressed with your own growth. So you tell yourself, yeah. No. The higher heights. A deeper depth. Moses just finished parting the sea, feeding people for 40 years. He just finished all the miracles in Egypt. I mean, someone stretched his hand to the sea and the sea gave way. And he closed his back. And he gave them food without owning a restaurant. They wanted water. He struck the rock. And the next thing he will say to God is, show me your glory. The key to being filled is being hungry. That desire must never stop. What brings lack of spiritual growth? When desire stops. The writer of Proverbs says, desire is the tree of life. Remember teaching this? Some of you remember? Saji, you remember? Desire is the tree of life. I taught a teaching on that. 2013, 14, 15. Desire is the tree of life. Where did we put it? Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory, Lord. If the devil can take away our hunger, his work is done. He brings a man to a place of stillness. A place where God is no longer useful to him. But be not drunk with wine. Where is the nexus? But be filled with the Spirit. His desire for us is to be filled. His desire for us is to be filled to the overflowing. It's so much that a situation comes that is meant to just sweep you off your feet and make you start questioning God. And then you just go, you are the Lord Almighty God. There's nothing you can't do. I trust you to turn things around. Now just walk on. It means you're filled. Moses saw Pharaoh coming behind. Saw the sea in front. He has not asked God at all. But you know what he told Israel? You will not see them again. is healed. there was no panic. I thought he would all say, oh God, where are you? Where are you first? Oh God, what should we do? No. He said, before I even ask God, take a last look at this Pharaoh. Take a last look at this host. You won't see them again. Now let me go to God. It gets to a place where it collides with our own world. People are falling like flies from their faith. But we are growing stronger. Because our desires are renewed. Our desires are renewed. We don't lose our wonder. We don't lose it. You know, every day the name of Jesus, every place the name of Jesus is mentioned, you still go, yes Lord. Yes Lord. Every time you sing, Lord, you reign forever, you still go, yes Lord, you reign. Yes, you reign. You reign in my affairs. You reign in my life. You reign in my relationships. You reign in my ministry. You reign in my career. You are the Lord. You reign. You don't get familiar with a song. You don't get familiar with it. You still go, Lord, you reign. Your preaching is still new to you. You, as you're saying it, you still have that consciousness. This is the Holy Ghost speaking. He has put me on like a cloth. He has put me on like a cloth. His fullness fills me. Right? The fullness of Him that fills us. The fullness of Him is seen in the fact that He fills us. We must never lose that wonder. That exposure, you just go, yes Lord, yes, that's you. You don't get used to it. I know people who are not impacted again by the laying on of hands because they've got used to it. Pastor, we lay hands now. We lay hands. That's meeting. We lay hands again. Camp meeting. We lay hands again. Retreat. You still touched me yesterday, sir. No. You don't get familiar. Every time hands are laid, you must keep that and say, you know what? When hands are laid, everything changes for me. When hands are laid, everything turns around for me. Passion is renewed. The glory of the Lord comes afresh to me. When hands are laid, my ministry takes a new turn. When hands are laid, I know something will happen. I know something will happen. It's God's method. I receive it. It's God's method. I receive it. It's God's method. I desire it. I want it. It works for me. It works for me. It works for me. You feel a pain. You feel something. You still go. Lord, I know you here. As though you just got born again yesterday. As though you were just told this morning. You don't go like, I know you use, but get me acetaminophen. I know you use, but I just want to be prazo. No. I know you here. I know your power is potent. I know your glory can turn a sick body and make it whole. So I receive right now your healing in my body. Right now. Oh Lord, I'm not familiar with it. Oh Lord, I want to see your glory anew, afresh, every time. I'm not familiar with it, Lord. Expose me to your wonder. Expose me to your wonder. Expose me to your wonder. Yeah. He fills with the hungry with his goodness. He takes the poor. He puts him on the mountain. He hides him. He hides him from darkness and puts him where sin has no sin. Puts him where the darkness shuts up. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he does. Oh, that is exactly what he does. Oh, Moses. Moses just finished dismantling Pharaoh in Egypt. Show me your glory. What a cry. What a cry. If there's someone that should have said, I'm familiar with what God can do. I know what he can do. No, he said, no. God, I've seen all of that. But I know there is more to you. You are an unending God. I know this is not all to Christian life. I know it. I know it. Is this not all? I know it. I know it. I know our teaching will still take higher tones. Yeah. I know we are still going to teach better. I'm still going to teach better. Me. Yeah. I know this is not the end. I know this is not the end. He's taking us there. And I don't lose my wonder. I don't lose it. I'm not intelligent. I'm not intelligent. I'm not that smart. Am I? I'm not. I just want you. You are the one I want. You are the one I want. If you don't show up, Lord, I'll fail. I know I'll fail. If you don't step out for me, Lord, I don't have any other source. You are the one that gets me filled. You are the one that gets me moving. You are the one. I have no dependency on the job. I have no dependency on money. I have no dependency on family. I have no dependency on relations. I have no dependency on connections. You are my source. You are the one I wake up to, Lord. You are the one I go to bed. And I say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to bed. Lord Jesus, oh, show me yourself. Show me yourself in my sleep. Show me, give me assignments. Tell me what to do. You know, I want to be filled with all of you all the time. I want to be filled with all of you all of the time. I want to be filled with all of you all of the time. I want to see you more. I want to be soaked. I want to be enveloped in your wonder. Oh Lord, show me your glory. Oh Lord, my God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. I'm not familiar, Lord. Show me your glory. I don't know anything, Lord. Show me yourself. Show me yourself. Expose me to your wonder. Put me on like a cloth. Oh, can we just pray tonight? Come on. Destroy everything that gets me familiar. Take me to a place where only you reign. Wonder, wonder, wonder. May I never lose that wonder. Fill me with awe. Fill me with surprise. Fill me with hunger. Fill me with hunger, Lord. Bring me to my knees. Bring me to my knees every time, Lord. May I keep saying, wow. Wow. What a psalm. I don't want to get from it. What a psalm. You inspire this, Lord. I keep saying, what is someone? What an instruction? What a meeting? Oh, it's a summit. What a meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this 1 hour. Your presence was strong. Bring me to my knees. Bring me to my knees, Lord. Bring me to my knees, Lord. May we never lose our wonder. Fill us with your hunger, Lord. Leave us wanting for more, desiring more, looking forward to more. Lord, I desire you. Lord, I desire you. Lord, I desire you. I desire to be poor in spirit. To always rely on you.